Shalom. Welcome to another program of Jewish Soul Music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. This hour will be focused on Yom HaShoah, Remembrance of the Holocaust. I always have an issue of which songs to play, and since I've played over 40 different Yom HaShoahs over the years, I went back to 1983. And I decided to play a repeat of that program from 37 years ago. Wow, 37 years ago. Some of you perhaps weren't even born by 1983. Not to confuse you, you'll hear a reference to Seton Hall University. I had a program for 18 years at Seton Hall University, and this was in the early days. At the beginning of this selection, you will hear violins playing softly, imitating the sounds of crying, and then the buildup. I want to point out that towards the middle of the program, you'll hear a comment concerning the failure of American Jewry given by Rabbi Meir Kahane, and he was 100% correct. Now, don't want to confuse you, this is concerning last night, Monday, April 20th, 2020. I recorded Yankee Lemmer singing Kale Mole during a Zoom commemoration given at Lincoln Square Synagogue, and I'll be playing that at the end. So this program is gonna span 37 years. And one final point, if you don't mind, next Monday, April 27th, I'll be celebrating my 84th birthday. How did that happen? I don't know. Anyway, more about that some other time. On to the program.
What you hear in the background, if you listen closely, are the cries of the 6 million. This is Charlie Bernhout, welcoming you to another hour of Jewish Soul. Tonight, the program is dedicated to Yom HaShoah, Remembrance. We come to you each week from WSOU 89.5 FM, Seton Hall University in South Orange, New Jersey. This selection is by Coleman, Monument for 6 Million Jews, by the Slovak Philharmonic Orchestra. It's hard to believe that it occurred, even within our own lifetimes. And there are those who want to forget, Jews themselves, the obscenity of saying, "We've heard enough." But it's these very Jews that in a way brought about the Holocaust. The self-hating, denying Jews who stood by and did nothing. And now claim that they did all that they could do. Yes, they want to forget. And how many want to deny that there may be other Holocausts occurring, even today? This selection, as I mentioned, is from the Coleman Monument for 6 Million Jews. This is just the introduction. In the background now, we hear the introduction to Yizkor, in memory of 6 Million Jews, featuring Richard Tucker and Howard Da Silva, Bianca Soller, Seymour Schwartzman. This was recorded live at Temple Beth El in Rochester, New York, in 1967. Text by Samuel Rosenbaum and music by Shalom Secunda. Yizkor, remember. Remember the holy, the pure, the innocent, the slaughtered 6 million. Remember what was done to fathers and mothers, to children, to women, to brothers and sisters, to the holy, the pure, the innocent, the slaughtered 6 million. Remember, yes, we must remember. Terezin was a concentration camp where 15,000 children under the age of 15 passed through the camp of Terezin between the years of 42 and 44. And many of you have heard, "I never saw another butterfly," done by the Columbus Boy Choir of Princeton and others. This is a description standing in line.
We got used to standing in line at 7 o'clock in the morning, at 12 noon, and again at 7 o'clock in the evening. We stood in a long queue with a plate in our hand, into which they ladled a little warmed-up water with a salty or a coffee flavor, or else they gave us a few potatoes. We got used to sleeping without a bed, to saluting every uniform, not to walk on the sidewalks, and then again to walk on the sidewalks. We got used to undeserved slaps, blows, and executions. We got accustomed to seeing people die in their own excrement, to seeing piled-up coffins full of corpses, to seeing the sick amidst dirt and filth, and to seeing the helpless doctors. We got used to that from time to time. 1,000 unhappy souls would come here, and that, from time to time, another 1,000 unhappy souls would go away.
That was from the Columbus Boy Choir of Princeton. Another album done by the Beth Abraham Youth Choir in Dayton, Ohio. From the selection, I Never Saw Another Butterfly. The path is narrow, and a little boy walks along it. A little boy, a sweet boy, like that growing blossom. When the blossom comes to bloom, the little boy will be no more. From I Never Saw Another Butterfly. Many of you have seen the show To Live Another Summer, To Pass Another Winter. Let's hear the boy with the fiddle.
I can remember as a frail little boy when my father first placed a fiddle in my hand. I played Bach and Beethoven filled with joy. They said to me, a newborn star is in the land. I can remember Poland, country cursed and black. The houses of the town were broken and in flames. The terror-stricken eyes were screaming out for aid on darkened platforms by the train. And there I stood, a little boy, in a coat too large, alone with just my fiddle in my hand. Ooh, ooh, the cattle train is late. Shove 'em in, lock it up, shut it up, seal the gate. Schnell, Schwein, get inside the line. Cough and cough, choking, choking, vomit from the smoke. Push and push and pull and pull, the cattle car is full. Schnell! I can remember the face of my mother when she died. Papa thought a dress would serve to keep me warm. He lifted it from her and wrapped me inside. But then I froze. I saw her white and naked form. I can remember the train stopped, gate jerked open wide. And blinded by the day, I pushed out to catch my breath. I saw the wire fence, the barracks were inside, and smoke from furnaces of death. And there I stood, a little boy, in a pure white dress, alone with just my fiddle in my hand. Move, move, the catapult is late. Shove them in, lock it up, shut it up, seal the gate. Hellishbein, get inside the line. Coughing, coughing, choking, choking, vomit from the smoke. Pushing, pushing, pulling, put the cannon on his foot. I can remember a German captain called to me. Get over here, my darling, our pretty little boy. You played Bach and Beethoven while you were free. But now you'll join our little orchestra of joy. I can remember the long striped shirt he made me wear. The others had him too. And as the trains rolled by, he made us play this tune, this heinous little air. We played as our people went to die. By mere bist du schön, by mir aus die Rhein. And there I stood, a little boy, in a coat too large, alone with just my fiddle in my hand. Mow, mow, the catatrain is late. By mir bist du schön. Shove them in, lock it up, shut it up, seize the gate. Schnell, schwein, get inside the line. By mir bist du schön. Coughing, coughing, choking, choking, vomit from the smoke. By mir bist du schön. Pushing, pushing, pulling, pull the cannon on the screw. By mir bist du schön. Schnell! By mir bist du schön. By mir bist du schön. By mir bist du schön. By mir bist du schön.
Little boy with a fiddle. We'll next hear a dirge on the death of the Jewish children in Poland, sung by Cedar Bolorski, Mwishelech, Shloimelech. No longer do they play under the trees and in the bushes, Mwishelech and Shloimelech, Saralech and Leilech. The sound of their laughter has been silenced. The house of Israel in Poland has lost its children. Only in here and there do lonely children who survived still hide in holes, covering, crazed by terror, with the fear of death in their eyes. Moishelech Shloimelech.
Zertrappelte Zurallach von Beweisen Wunder im Umgewurallach.
Somewhere in the USSR, there lives a young boy of 17 by the name of Valadenka. And Valadenka became famous 5 years ago when a Yiddish journalist returned from the Soviet Union and brought back his story and that of his grandfather. The Yiddish journalist was in the city of Kiev in the Ukraine. And on the Sabbath, he went to the one synagogue left in Kiev to see what Judaism and Jewry were in the Soviet Union in the Ukraine. And when he returned, he told of what happened on that Sabbath in Kiev. As he was sitting, from behind him, he heard the voice of a Jew with his tallis, his prayer shawl over his head, whispering to him in Yiddish. And the Jew said to him, "Rabbi Yid, don't turn around. I have something to tell you." And what he told him was the following. He told him that he had lost his entire family during the war, except for one son, who in turn had a son of his own, a young boy of 12 by the name of Valadenka. And until the age of 6, the grandfather would take Valadenka to synagogue every Shabbat. And then Valadenka began to go to school, and the teacher found out that he went to synagogue. And he made him stand before the class, and he shamed him. And from that moment on, Valadenka refused to go to synagogue. And now he was 12 years old. A bar mitzvah was coming. And the grandfather whispered how much he wanted his grandson to have a bar mitzvah. But he knew that it could not be. And so he told the journalist, "When you go back home, don't be quiet. Shake the world. Shake it so that my Valadenka will be a Jew." We did not shake the world. From 1917 to 1964, we did not even hold one street protest for Soviet Jewry in this country. 47 years of silence in the streets. I understand that it takes Jewish organizations time to make a decision. In general, when a resolution comes up, it's brought before a study committee, which studies it and studies it and studies it. It is then passed down to a subcommittee, and then to the committee. And it takes time to decide to do things. But 47 years is a little too much even for Jewish organizations. For 47 years we were silent. Just as we were silent 30 years ago. Many of you in this room remember how in 1939 a ship sailed out of Hamburg, Germany. The ship was called the St. Louis, and on the ship were Jews, more than 900 Jews, who managed to get out of Hitler's Germany in time. They were among the last Jews to get out. And there was only one country in the entire world that was willing to take them in, and that was Cuba. So they sailed for Cuba. And it was only when they arrived in Cuba that they realized that they were told that their entry visas were illegal. And they were told that they would have to go home, home to Hitler. And there began a great drama. The Jews stayed on the ship, anchored 90 miles away from Miami Beach, where other Jews were enjoying freedom along Collins Avenue. And our Jewish leaders went to the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, for whom every Jew voted, for whom every Jew wept when he died, but for whom they will build no monuments in Israel. And they went to Franklin Roosevelt and they pleaded with him to jeopardize the safety of the Republic by allowing 900 Jews to come in over and above the quota. And Franklin Roosevelt, ever vigilant for the safety of the Republic, said it could not be done. There were laws here, there were quotas, and the German quota was filled. And the Jews pleaded with him to mortgage the quota to future years. Mortgage it to 1970. And the president said, I cannot bend the law. And so he didn't. And the president went home. Our Jewish leaders went home. And the Jews on the St. Louis went home. I know rabbis who were arrested in Selma, Alabama for civil rights. I don't know any rabbis who, when it was a question not of civil rights but of Jewish lives, decided to spotlight the tragedy of Jews by breaking the law in Washington, D.C. And 4 years later, when we Jews learned that there exists a place on this earth called Auschwitz, where every 24 hours, between sunrise and sunrise, 12,000 Jews are killed. And when we knew that this place existed, we again went to the president with a concrete plan to save these Jews. And our Jewish leaders went to him and they said, you can save hundreds of thousands of lives if you will only bomb the rail lines leading to Auschwitz. And they presented him with the maps given by the Czech underground, the maps of the death camp and of the rail lines and of the bridges. And the President of the United States, whose bombers bombed everything on this earth that moved, said that for technical reasons, it would be unable to bomb the rail lines leading to Auschwitz. And so the president went home, and our Jewish leaders went home, and 2.5 million Jews died in Auschwitz. Do we have any complaints to the Roosevelts of the world? If we are, we're fools. If a Jew still believes that the Roosevelts of the world will help Jews, if one believes this, he's a fool. We have no complaints to those people from whom we expect little or nothing. At whom should we direct our complaints? At those from whom we had a right to expect more. I know Jewish leaders who were freedom riders in Mississippi and who proudly and who eagerly and who gladly broke the law. The immoral law. I don't know of a single Jewish leader who chained himself to the White House gates or who called 100,000 Jews into the streets of Washington, D.C., to sit in the streets and not to move until the rail lines are bombed. I don't know of Jewish leaders who had the decency, of black leaders who, when their people were denied civil rights and human rights, and when their problems were not gas chambers, but their problems were inequality of education and employment, went into the streets and defied the immoral law, and they won. I don't know any Jews or any Jewish leaders that did this when every day 12,000 Jews went to the gas chambers. And no Jewish leader and no Jewish organization can honestly and truthfully say, our hands have not had a share in the shedding of that blood. We were silent then, and we were silent for all the decades of the persecution of Soviet Jewry.
But you stand by with folded arms. You stand by looking on as our village is on fire. As Brent, it is on fire. The fateful moment is approaching when our village will collapse in fire and ashes. And you stand by with folded arms. Looking on as the town burns. It is burning, brothers. It is burning. Help can come from only one source, from yourselves. If your village is dear to you, take pails and buckets to extinguish the flames. Extinguish them even with your own blood. Show what you can do. But you stand by with folded arms. That was Jan Pierce singing the powerful Es Brennt, which was written by Mordechai Gebertig in 1939, foretelling the Holocaust. Yes, Es Brennt. Are you standing by with folded arms, looking on, as Israel is burning? Yet through it all, we have our faith. Ani Ma'amin. By the way, that was, of course, Meir Kahani before as Brent. And this is Jep singing Ani Ma'amin, I believe.
At the words Ani Ma'amin, I cannot help but recall that fateful day some 35 years ago. I was just a child then, but the memories of that day are locked in my mind forever. Sainted father of blessed memory was holding me in his arms, well aware of the impending disaster. I could barely hear his words above the sound of blasting shells and gunfire outside our small home. My mother and sister had already been killed by the Nazis, and we knew it was just a matter of time before we would be found. Trembling with fear, but there was my father, speaking to me his final words with great pride and courage. I can still remember each and every word as if they had been spoken just yesterday. You must be proud of it as long as you live, and never lose your faith in Hashem, even if it means being tortured or killed for it. I remember hearing the footsteps outside our door, and how my father shoved me under the bed. With tears in my eyes, I watched in horror as the door burst open, and even as the soldier raised his gun to fire, my father screamed with his every bit of strength, "Ani Ma'amin Be'emuna Shleima."
Why do we play the beautiful voice of cantor Moshe Koussevitzky at this time? Koussevitzky, who was born in 1899 and died in 1966, was the cantor in Warsaw. Yes. As the Nazis bombed Warsaw in 1939 and the city became more and more fearful, Koussevitzky conducted regular services in shelters and cellars, practically his last act in beleaguered Warsaw before its surrender, was to chant the Yom Kippur services underground. The congregation was even joined by some despairing Christians. Arrested by the Gestapo, he was scheduled to be sent to the awesome Treblinka prison. The Nazis even released a false report that he had been executed. However, he was rescued by non-Jewish members of the Polish underground, who recognized his importance as an artist. Dressed in Nazi uniforms, they appeared at the prison with forged orders and spirited Koussevitzky away over to the River Bug to Bialystok in Russian territory. Happily, his family was rescued soon after and reunited with him. And of course, many of you remember when he came to the Bethel Synagogue in Borough Park, where he officiated until his death in 1966. He was there from 1952 to 1966. Many of you do not recognize the great voice of Joseph Schmidt, who was born in 1904 and died in 1942. At the peak of his career in the early 30s, Joseph Schmidt was called the German Caruso. Appearances followed each other in rapid succession, and the sales figures of his records reached astronomical proportions. On both stage and screen, his voice soon conquered the world. The public idolized him. Then followed extensive tours and 6 years of triumph in the world's great concert halls in London, Vienna, Budapest, and America. In 1937, he returned from his tour, a celebrated man with the plaudits of the world ringing in his ears, but to a Berlin that seemed to have changed out of all recognition. He found that he was being avoided. The few friends he had left advised him to leave. He was a Jew. The singer, who had brought happiness to millions, was forced by circumstances to leave Germany. So he went to Belgium, and when Brussels fell and was occupied by German troops, he returned to America for a short while, then settled in Switzerland. In 1942, Joseph Schmidt died of a heart attack in an internment camp near Zurich. The Jewish community buried this modest of artists in the cemetery of Friesenberg. For a few splendid years, his name had appeared among the greatest, only to perish suddenly in the darkness of a cruel epoch. His gravestone reads, "A star fell. Joseph Schmidt."
Hey!
In the background, we hear the voice of the great cantor Gershon Yitzchak Sirota. With the outbreak of the war, Sirota was imprisoned in the Warsaw Ghetto with his family and the other Jews of the city. He conducted High Holy Day services in Warsaw Ghetto in 1941. 2 years later, cantor Gershon Sirota was murdered with his entire family during the destruction of the Warsaw Ghetto on the last day of Passover. That was the great Gershon Sirota. This is the Keil Mo'alei Rachamim done by Shalom Katz, who died just last year. In 1942, in a Nazi concentration camp, Shalom Katz was among 2,000 Jews scheduled for mass execution. He received permission to sing the Keil Mo'alei Rachamim, this particular song that you hear now, while the prisoners were digging their graves. The Nazi commandant, impressed with his voice, spared him to sing for the officers, and the next day he was allowed to escape. The only one of 2,000 spared a brutal death. Shalom Katz. Auschwitz, Majdanek, Treblinka, a special version of the Keil Mo'alei Rachamim.
tasher basela al feish mashot zorcho nashuv nered el yam hamelach bederech yericho.
Well, this is Charlie Bernhout bringing to a close our special commemoration of Yom HaShoah, remembrance of the Holocaust. And next week...
Okay, this was from how many years ago? 37 years ago, 1983. And we're back in the year 2020. Yes, 2020. And you just heard Kale Mole, but let's hear a full version of it. As I mentioned last night, I was able to zoom into a Holocaust memorial that was given by Lincoln Square Synagogue, and Yanky Lemmer did the Kale Mole. So I'm going to close with Yanky Lemmer doing Kale Mole.
Oh,
Zoom, and this is Charlie Bernhout, hoping that you found this commemoration of Yom HaShoah meaningful, and I'm always interested in your feedback. You know how to reach me at cbjmusic@aol.com, cbjmusic@aol.com. I thought you would find it interesting going back 37 years ago. So shalom, everyone. Thanks for joining with me.